It's really simple.
Hook the man, some fucking
back for soul, bitch!
I need to tell you something.
Breakfast soup.
Gotta be fresh, gotta go downstairs. Gotta have my bowl, gotta have
breakfast soup. Breakfast soup. Breakfast soup. Breakfast soup.
March 1st, 2022. This is Breakfast Soup VI Patreon. I am Don Tony. Join along with me, as always,
Anthony Machary Thomas. What's going on, ZP?
Not much, not much. Tonight's episode is going to be a little more laid back, rapid fire, down to earth, pretty much as having some fun, because this just by calendar, and it's interesting. I found the earliest post about 2.5 years ago when we started monitoring the number of episodes, and it just so happens that today, March 1st, 2022, almost exactly 25 years ago when I started my first hotline episode, today ends up being episode 5,000.
That's wild. I mean, I was trying to look it up, right? And if you take, so the show's been on since what, 98, right?
97.
So, well, I did it from 98, so I was a little bit wrong, my bad. But it came up to, if you just did one show every week for 23 years with the addition of 12 extra shows a year for the pay-per-view, that in itself would equal 1,740 something episodes. But when you think about how many episodes you do a week, mm-hmm, and have done multiple times over the years, even going back to the hotline and the Minority Report and everything else like that, Jesus, dude. Like 5,000. I'm surprised you didn't hit 5,000 sooner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for those that are curious that want to break down, 3,008 of those episodes were from my hotline, and how we documented that number, I mean, honestly, we never missed a day. I mean, I probably missed a total of 5 days in the entire time we were doing the hotline. I mean, there was an update every single day. But as far as the podcast, the exact number is 1,992. So
it's more than that.
No, it's about, I mean, there's probably other episodes.
The last 3 years, you've been doing, what, 4 or 5 a week?
It's, yeah, but you know what? If you even add up 50 weeks in a year, if you do 5 shows a week, that's only 250 episodes. It's probably more than 1992, but I can only document 1992.
I got you. Right.
But for anybody that's curious of the breakdown, the sit down. The sit-down episodes I do on Sunday, we've done 13 of those. The Thursday Q&A, we have done 57 of those. When I was doing...
Yeah, people forget about all those days that you used to do, like Breakfast with Blasey.
No, I have it in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have it in here. I mean, but we used to do, like, after shows, and we would just do random stuff, and so there's definitely more, but as far as documenting and really having proof behind it, this is the best I could come up with. But the blah 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 episodes I used to do, we did 75 of those. This Week in Wrestling History, the total number of episodes was 89. That was 89. The Don Tony Show, which I do now on Saturday nights, we have done 101 of those. Wednesday Night Dynamite, we have done 124. The Minority Report, which I think people will be a little bit surprised, we did 127. So we didn't do as many as people think, but I think that was just because we were around doing it for like maybe 2 or 3 years, and it was mostly once a week. Right. It was only once a week. So if we did more, per week, we would have had many more. The doing it with the Mass Maniac was 157. You and I doing, whether it's Monday or Tuesday, we have done 271. Nice. Between the pay-per-view recaps and
I've done more episodes with you than the Minority Report.
Yeah, huh? 271.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Breakfast with Blasi and pay-per-view recaps combined is 318, and the DTKC show was 660.
Wow. Shit.
Yeah. So, it makes me feel old, but it's weird.
How do you think it makes me feel? I was in my early 20s when I started listening to you guys.
I know. We were joking about with Jason on Thursday, we don't realize how many years have gone by. And I tell you, Jason is aging pretty damn nice. I mean, he's not as old as me, but he's not 20 years old anymore either, but he still looks awfully young,
Yeah, he does.
But, 25 years ago, and it's almost to the day too, because because I know some people online are going to hear this too. And again, this is just a, casual conversation tonight, a little bit of rapid fire mixed in, maybe a little NXT combo as well. But, where I got inspired to do this, everybody knows I had my car accident in 1996 that almost killed me. And for almost 9 months, I was in a wheelchair. And when you're pretty much bedridden in a wheelchair, you don't do much but watch TV, kind of cry. You order from QVC. I mean, I bought so much shit from QVC I never used. And, you call wrestling hotlines. And I used to call a couple of wrestling hotlines, and a lot of them would let you leave messages, and I would leave messages. And actually, for people that don't know, that's how Kev Castle became a part of my shows. He was a caller, just calling and leaving feedback. But I used to do that with other hotlines. And, one guy, Captain Ivan, hey, they really enjoying my, my comments. Why don't you come on for one time? So I came on, had a great time. I would leave questions on Dominic Valente's hotline. He would address them. And other people would leave messages following up what I said. So I don't remember who it was, but somebody told me in 1997, why don't you give a crack at this? And I was a diehard ECW fan. A lot of wrestlers in ECW had reached out to me, because of my car accident. And we've told those stories before. But there was an ECW hotline called Strictly ECW. It was done by a guy named Uriel, and he spread the word of ECW everywhere. And I was inspired by Uriel's ECW hotline in 1997. So I decided, all right, I'll get a crack at it. I got the voicemail service that some people used. And basically, for those that don't know, how the hotlines worked back then is you would call a voicemail company and you would pay whatever it was, $50 a month or whatever, and you would buy a voicemail box. But the voicemail box was intended for somebody, let's say you don't have a physical answering machine in your house. You would get this digital service and you would just, the idea is, oh, I'm not home right now, leave a message after the beep, blah, 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 blah. Or if you have a business, hey, you've reached J&J Security, after the beep, leave a message. That's what the voicemail box was full, was meant for.
Right.
Wrestling hotlines realized that the greeting could go 20 minutes. Or you can have multiple mailboxes, and each mailbox would let you record up to a 5-minute greeting. So we got the voicemail box, and instead of using it what we was intended for, to, you know, as a voicemail service, we would do a hotline report as the greeting. So it was technically an answering machine, but you had 5 to 20 minutes of time to post your greeting.
Gotcha. Wow.
So that's how I started. I got a voicemail service, and I think the first one I had, I was allowed to record up to a 15-minute greeting. So I would just talk wrestling. I wish I had the reports from 1997. They were awful. I mean, if you even hear my stuff from if you even hear my stuff from 2000, they were awful.
But I remember the early stuff. But you know what, though? And people won't understand this. Technology was limited as fuck. I mean, even when I got into podcasting in 2003, when I first started doing shit on the OWMF RU forums, like, I was just working with a sound card, I think it was like a 16-bit Creative sound card. Like,
oh yeah,
the option, unless you were doing like a full rig with like MIDI cables and everything else like that, recording options through your computer. Dude, we were doing this back when Windows XP was around. Mm-hmm. Like, let that fucking sink in. So when you were doing this shit in 97 and even in 2003, we were still using XP in order to broadcast. I remember you used to use you used Icecast and Shoutcast.
Sure. I think my first hotline, I think I had Windows 95 still, because I don't think I had switched over to 97 right away. But I had the external sound card. Yeah. And what I would do is, if anybody at home right now, if you had a cordless phone, if you look at your cordless phone, probably somewhere on the side of it, there is a jack. There is a way you can actually plug in like an earpiece if you want. And what I would do, for people that didn't know, how I recorded my hotline reports onto the computer. This is legit. I would take my cordless phone and I would find on the cordless phone that external earpiece that you can plug in. What was it, like 2-millimeter plug or whatever? I don't know.
3.5.
Yep. So I would plug the wire into the cordless phone, and then I plug the other side of it to the sound card, the external sound card that would connect to the computer. And then all I would do is get a recording program, and right. I would literally, like, let me see. I would literally just call the hotline, and when the audio would come up, it would transfer like I was listening to an earpiece, but it actually was going into my computer, and that's how I recorded the audio.
Wow. Yeah. Jesus.
So Clinton was president at that time. ECW didn't have its first pay-per-view yet. My God, the NWO had just formed not too long before. Bret Hart didn't get screwed yet from Vince. Wow. You know, a lot of wrestlers were still alive too, but, man, 5,000. It's insane to think about it. It's, but it's interesting how it happened almost 25 years to the day. Like, I wish somebody 25 years ago when I first started, I wish somebody would have said, hey, do you think you could see yourself doing 5,000 of these episodes? Or where do you see yourself 25 years from now? I would be like, yeah, I think I'll still be doing this. It ain't unbelievable, but time flies, man. It really does. I will not be able to last another 25 years.
No.
First of all, I'll be in my 70s.
You say that, but look at how some of the older broadcasters, the popular ones, are still around, man. I mean, it's not true. That unheard of. I mean, it's not a medium where you can age out of it. And let me explain why. Depending on your topic, and especially for this, for being wrestling, the fact that you have that much knowledge from over the years means that only you become more valuable. Now, if this was something like the latest trends or whatever, yeah, you would have been done probably about 10 or 15 years ago, but it's not. It's in sports, in dealing with sports specifically, or anything that has to deal with history or like, you know, where wrestling was or where anything was a long time ago. Yeah, a lot of those older broadcasters are still around, even the ones that people don't know about, you know, like trying to remember the one dude out of California that used to do nothing but talk about football history. And he would talk about the history of football, and he was like 80 years old, and he talked about the history of football before the Super Bowl, for fuck's sakes.
Wow.
You know, and that's what he did, and it was really cool. I'm sure people could find who I'm talking about online. I think he even has some YouTube clips up, but broadcasting is a different medium. Mm. And I know we're in a podcast world, but podcasting is the sister of, you know, terrestrial radio broadcasting and stuff like that. And there's a lot of nuances and similarities between the two. So, you know, saying that you're not going to be here another 20 years, I think you're downplaying yourself, buddy.
I don't know, man. It gets a little tiring at times, physically, well, not emotionally.
Yeah, if you're tired, I mean, that's different. But yeah, saying that you're not going to be valuable, or not thinking that you'll be viable 20 years from now, I disagree. Yeah. I disagree. Mm. You know what's a good story for that? And for people that are listening now, look at Vince Russo. Look at, if you have not listened to Vince Russo in a long time, and as crazy as that guy used to be, he has mellowed the fuck out.
Yeah.
Look at how old Jim Cornette is. Jim Cornette and Vince Russo are the same age, by the way. They're like a few months off from each other, which is really funny when you think about it. Because you look at Jim Cornette, and Jim Cornette looks like an old man. He does. And I'm sorry, Jim, you do. He looks like an old man. And people still today, younger talent, younger fans, still enjoy listening to the craziness of Jim Cornette. You know, so age has its privileges. It really does.
Yeah. A little announcement. I don't have the details yet. You had actually had brought this up in a conversation you and I had about 6 months ago. And believe me, I did not pursue this. I was actually approached not too long ago. But, you know, we were taught, you had brought up to me about the idea of having watch parties. And, you know, as far as how wrestling companies would handle it. Well, long story short, that Blue Wire place, they actually approached me. They were very happy with numbers for the first 3 months that I've been with them. And in the next couple of months, they are going to have me host watch parties for pro wrestling. Oh, and it's cool. It's through another company. I mean, I get paid and, you know, I host it. The only thing is, they're not public watch parties. They're not where you can just like go on YouTube and just click on a link. Like it's by invitation only.
Right.
But, apparently WWE and AEW and other wrestling companies are on board with it. Like it would be like a very small audience. And, but all you do is you host a watch party, you know, like, and everybody that connects can watch for free. So if it's an AEW pay-per-view, anybody that's part of the watch party does not have to buy the pay-per-view.
Oh, there you go.
So it would take place either through Discord. It might take place through Patreon. It is going to be a private, you know, party. Not to, you know, no pun intended for the tag team, but it's going to be like a private party. But I'm going to be doing a call with them next week to get all the details, but this should start in a couple of months. I wish it would have started in time of WrestleMania, but it's just not physically possible. There's a lot of legalities involved, you know, but the idea of, you know, doing a watch party for like pay-per-views, WWE and AEW, we get them for free and then we could all watch them for free.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So yeah, you'd be part of this as well. Once I get all the details, you know, I'll throw it your way, and you know, you definitely could be part of it, even if you just hang out just to watch the stuff for free.
Sure.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. So more details soon. I was allowed to at least announce that tonight. So anyway, did you watch NXT today?
No, I was busy losing both of our cars.
What the hell happened?
So, all right. So my car, I had to take it in for an emissions test on the 28th because it was that time of the year. And since I was out in PA the last year, I didn't do my emissions test. And so they forced me to do it again this year. I failed because I have a solenoid issue. So it's an electrical issue. And so I had to buy the extension, 6 day extension. Right. And I'm like, okay, so I got 6 days. I got till March 6th in order to get my car fixed and back in the emissions test. So basically March 5th. So I'm like, okay, I got to find a repairman, a mechanic. There was a guy, Jay Murray, that I went to before. for my Saturn and a couple other cars, and I fucking love the dudes over there. Like, they do good work. I mean, they're a little pricier than other mechanics, but I know my shit is fixed. I don't have to worry about somebody unscrewing a couple of lug nuts elsewhere. You know that dirty trick that a lot of mechanics do, mm-hmm. where they'll fix one thing and then fuck up another? Yeah, these guys don't do that. So I have no problem paying a little extra for fucking work that I want done, as opposed to going to the dealer, and the dealers don't really give a shit about you or your car. So I took the car up there. I had Tink follow me, and she's driving her Dodge Challenger, you know, her 2010 fucking cherry red Dodge Challenger. And we go up there. I drop off my car. I talked to them beforehand, put the keys in the box, and I was waiting for her to pick me up. So she picks me up. We go to Bennigan's. We have ourselves a nice little steak dinner, some Monte Cristos, like, enjoy ourselves. Get back to her car. Her car is dead. Doesn't work. Hmm. We're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's the battery. So we call up her son. Her son drives by, jumps the car. The car is charged, but it's still not starting. So now it's the alternator. The starter's already fucked up, too, because it's one of those weird keyless entry kind of ignitions. So it's not even a key. It's like a little nub that you put inside the ignition, and then you turn it and it turns the car on, but there's no actual key. It's not like a regular car. So now her fucking alternator's dead. The starter's dead. It's not working. So now we're stranded in the middle of fucking Elgin. And so I'm like, we're like an hour away from Chicago, and I'm over here. It's like 7:30 at this point. So we call up a tow truck guy, get the tow truck to drop her car off at the same mechanic that mine is. And then we had her son race back to the city to drop me off just in time to do the show. So, yeah, I missed NXT. It's been a shitty night, but that's all right. You know, shit happens.
Yeah, I don't understand why they are still putting like Lash Legend on NXT. She should be strictly for this level up, because I did not watch. I watch NXT on Wednesday afternoons, everyone, but I watched a couple little clips here and there today, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, she just is. I know this is, you know, their version of Jade Cargill. I'm talking about like very tall, muscular athlete. You know, they just both happen to be black. And trust me, it's not a black thing, but this is like, or maybe like another Raquel Gonzalez in a different way. But she is greener than grass. I mean, put it this way. She makes Bret Hart look like, I mean, she makes Jade Cargill look like she wrestles like Bret Hart.
Well, the thing right now is that WWE is trying to figure out a type, right? So WWE has been permeated with a lot of women that are twigs, that are like just literally Twiggy Ramirez, and not doing a good job in the ring as far as that. So if you can't have women that can wrestle, then you have to have women that are a spectacle. And to be fair to Lash Legend, her physical size makes her a spectacle. Mm. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing, because the first person you think of when you think of a larger woman that had shit talent is probably Nia Jax. Mm. She was a busted experiment. Don't know if Lash Legend is going to be on the same level as Nia. I'm sure everybody hopes not. I think we all hope that she gets her blue chip somewhere and figures herself out, finds her feet, and has good matches. Mm. But I think WWE right now, specifically for the women, the only thing they can do is start thinking outside the box, start getting spectacles. Because when you have other female talent, and there's been a couple now that have left WWE and said, hey, you know, the women's revolution thing is bullshit. Mm. They're going back to the Divas era. You're terrifying hardcore women's fans.
Yeah.
People that want to see women's wrestling don't want to see fucking mud baths anymore. Don't want to see bikini contests. Not that we mind them, but we'd rather see women go out there and have fucking brutal ass matches. So if you can't give wrestling fans that, if WWE's not going to go down that path, then they're going to go down the circus path. They're going to go, look at the freak show. look at Lash Legend. Wow, what a crazy big woman as she is. She can pick up. She was, I saw one clip when I was coming in here while you were playing Uno, right? I forgot who she had, but she had somebody by the throat and she brought them over to the ropes and she started smashing their head up and down in between the ropes. You don't see that, not even with the dudes. And I thought it was an amusing move. So she was using the ropes to like rubber band choke out whoever the hell it was she was carrying. Was it Amari Miller? Is that right, Maurice?
Yeah, that was her tag team partner from last week.
Yeah, she fucking was flexing her right in between the ropes, using her throat across the ropes. And once again, that's not somebody that's a great wrestler, but it's somebody who's a spectacle and can use their size. So, yeah, you're probably right. Maybe a girl like Lash Legend would benefit more as a wrestler from Level Up. I don't know if they want her to be that, though.
Yeah.
They might want her to just go around the ring and look big.
Well, we'll see. As you were saying that, somebody had emailed me the update on Cain Velasquez. You heard what happened with him, right?
I heard about it. I haven't read too deeply into it. I saw more than a few people, even in our Discord, talking about it too. The murder charge or something like that. But I don't even know anything further than that.
You know, this morning when I woke up right away, you know, for the clickbait, former WWE superstar charged with attempted murder. So, you know, of course, it's to make, you know, WWE look bad. What's starting to come out now is that Cain Velasquez shot some guy because the guy was apparently molesting one of his nieces under the age of 14.
Yeah.
So, honestly, Cain Velasquez.
Stories, man. That's one of those hard stories because you're going to have a lot of people that are going to vilify Cain Velasquez, and you're going to have a lot of people that have
call him a hero.
Kids. Right. You're going to have a lot of people that have kids or, dare I say, have ever been molested or hurt by somebody like that, looking at Cain going, you did the right fucking thing.
Yeah. I just hope he shot him in the nuts. I'm dead serious. I'm not even saying it'd be funny. I mean, if you're going to actually whip out a gun, you know, you hit him in the jewels. Seriously, blow his balls out.
Dude, and here's the question. When people want to vilify Cain or any guy that's defending their family, it's like you wouldn't do the same thing if your family, especially a young family member, is getting hurt by somebody. Like, you wouldn't have murder on your mind if somebody was hurting your family. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe I just think too deeply on that. And I'm not saying I'm a deeper person. I just mean, like, maybe I'm looking too far ahead on that. Maybe I should be the person that says, I would have called the police and made sure that he was arrested. Like, that's what Anthony should say.
Here's a problem. Yeah. Let me just add a little more to this. Apparently, he didn't shoot the guy that did the molesting. He shot at the car and inadvertently, I think, hit the guy's stepfather.
Oh, wait a minute. So he didn't even hit the guy?
You fucked up. That's what it seems. Like I said, there's so much that is starting to come out now. But, you know, apparently, from what I see over here, the guy that apparently did the molesting is a 43-year-old man. And he lives in a home that hosts a daycare business run by his mother.
Oh, stop it. Fuck.
So he apparently, you know, now daycare, that gets scary because daycare, you immediately think of children, like toddlers, almost infants. And the charge is lewd and lascivious act with a child under the age of 14. That can mean that the child is 13. That can mean the child is 3. So apparently Velasquez just snapped and fired at the car, but didn't hit the guy that did the molesting. He shot the stepfather by accident. He's not going to die, so he's not going to get hit with murder. But I think that, honestly, I don't condone shooting. But I've always said before, if somebody ever did something to my mom and my dad, I definitely would go for revenge, even if my life was ruined. I don't care. But
right. It's family. That was,
yeah, it's family.
That was the point that I was making. I'm like, yeah. But I mean, and you're just talking about older family. Like, I mean, you start thinking about little ones, man. And I don't know. It's an extra rage is the best way to put it. Like it's bad enough when there's somebody hurting your family. It's worse when it's somebody in your family that can't defend themselves, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, they'll probably just say he was not in his right mind.
Oh, clearly. Oh, yeah. He'll get off for that. Like that attempted murder shit. Oh, yeah. He was shooting at the guy who just molested his fucking family. He'll get off. He'll probably, I don't know. He might do some time for something like that. But you're probably talking nickels and pennies versus any like real fucking dollars.
Yeah, you know? Especially since no one died, you know, I mean.
Right.
But I believe this happened in San Jose, California.
He might even get stuck with doing probation because he's a fucking superstar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He might have to do some charity work, do some public appearances for the state, you know, stuff like that. My heart goes out to him.
Yeah.
It really does. Because, geez, man, nobody ever wants to be put in that position where you find out something horrendous like that, you know, and this guy gets away and this guy's fucking in charge of a daycare. Holy shit. I'm more afraid of thinking about, you know,
if there's other people,
Kane's family. But yeah, how many other people have been victims to this fucking monster?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if the guy's 43 years old, you don't just wake up one day and say, hey. You know, I think this might expose something else, but man, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. Some very fucked up people in this world. So anyway, you want to get into some rapid fire?
Let's do it.
All right. Now, without naming any names, we had some fun before we went live. I appreciate each and every one of you, but the idea of doing rapid fire is to just blow through a lot of questions with some very quick, fun answers and move on. And not only did a majority of everyone out there not post rapid fire, some people posted enough questions that it would take 2 hours just to answer one person. You know, just so everybody knows, you
we'll
know,
get it to Andrew.
Yeah. Well, I want to say this because I think a lot of people like, you know, and I don't want to name any names. I mean, but you know, there's some people here, I think that still don't understand how the Patreon pages run. And I'll use Kev's show for an example. You know, Kev is not on our Patreon page. Never has been. When I send him the questions, I always ask, look, there's a lot of people that tune into the shows. There is not that many VIPers and Hall of Famers that get the opportunity. But, you know, some episodes, there's quite a few that come in. And the thing is we want everybody's questions to be answered fairly. And we don't want to just run through people for 5 seconds. So some people, I think, don't realize that when you write an entire essay of questions, you know, some people get mad when they're not read word for word. And, you know, look, you know, especially, you know, the way that shows are set up, you know, if you send in more than one question, they got to be changed into like a rapid fire format, because it's not fair to spend 30 seconds on one person and 30 minutes on another person. So I always say, if you're going to send in more than one question, please keep it in rapid fire. Otherwise, I have to change it into rapid fire. So when some people say, hey, you know, Kev didn't answer my question the way that I worded it, well, that's because you wrote 5 paragraphs, and no, I'm going to send it to him in 3 sentences. You know, not that dramatically different, but, you know, somebody sent in for this show like over 12 questions, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, none of these are even rapid fire. If I answered these the way they were sent, it would take literally an hour. So
no, I think a lot of these are yes or no questions.
Well, we're going to turn them into rapid fire, pretty much all of them. So, you know, whether people like it or not, we're going to turn them into rapid fire. So, all right. Murrell Coombs. Why? This is awesome. This is an absolutely phenomenal question that I honestly think should get a lot of play online. How come there are no referees in the WWE Hall of Fame?
I wonder if the Hebners really fucked Vince up that badly. Because you would imagine that the first people to go in there might have been the Hebners. One of them, at least. Earl, you know.
He gave a good one. Tommy Young should be in the WWE Hall of Fame, and I'm in agree. I think Charles Robinson definitely will be put in.
Yeah, Robinson deserves a little something too. Wasn't there another ref that Vince McMahon had a problem with too in the back seat of a limo or some shit?
Oh yeah, Mike McGurk.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I think there's a lot of controversy surrounding referees in WWE.
Wait, isn't Teddy Long in the Hall of Fame? Wouldn't Teddy Long technically be considered like the first referee? He was a regular referee.
Yeah, he was, but did he get in there based upon his I guess it was a lifetime achievement kind of Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Technicality, right. I totally agree with Crimson. Because he didn't go in there because he was a referee. He went in there because of his management.
Yeah. But that's a good point. That is a very good point. They should put some referees in. I think the reason why we don't see many is because referees can ref into their 70s. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, some of the referees were very old and still doing it. And because referees are not contractually obligated mostly to one company, you know, I think that, you know, it's very hard for them to put somebody as a ref in Hall of Fame that could still pop up and do AEW shows or other places, you know? Yeah. Tim White's a good another one. I think Tim White deserves to be put in.
I wonder if they would do that with all of the suicide skits.
That could be the reason why he's not in yet.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so weird. There's a lot of controversy surrounding WWE refs.
Yeah. Kyle Kaczmarski, you bought floor seats for the SmackDown after WrestleMania in Milwaukee. Do we think it's going to be a great show? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. SmackDown after WrestleMania, it'll be a good show, dude. That Fallout alone, that's where you're going to see a lot of people coming out there looking for their comeuppance, you know, looking for their winning speech, and you're going to have a lot of rematches booked up. Obviously, Money in the Bank is going to be what's following. I think the tickets go on sale, a couple more days?
Yes.
Something like that. So.
Yeah. He also says, how do we think the war is going to end with Ukraine and Russia? I can't tell. It's so complicated because a lot of people feel that, you know, some countries should just go in there and fucking stop Russia. Then you realize you have World War III if you do that. I mean, the sanctions, me and my fiance watched a video over the weekend. It was a Russian husband, wife, and child. Kid was probably about a year. And they were a young couple. They're not involved in the war. They live in Russia. And all they did was they went grocery shopping in Russia. And they showed everybody how much the prices have changed. So when you think of the sanctions, you also got to realize that Russia takes it out on their own. And you have regular folk living in Russia that can't even afford groceries now because of the sanctions. You know what I mean? So it's like it's such a complicated issue. I donated $100 today on someone's podcast, which I will keep quiet. But you know, I just basically any money that I made last week, I gave it to charity. And it's documented online, but I don't know how it's going to end. Sure. It's fucked up. Andrew Monahan, if there winds up being a single WWE champion coming out of Mania, what becomes the second top champion in the company?
Oh, the IC.
Yeah, I would say the IC.
I see he has the lineage.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But we got a lot of feedback from yesterday talking about a unified title. A lot of people liked that idea.
It was a smart idea. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty neat. I'm like, and it's neat because now it becomes a very unique, it's a unique championship that can't just be thrown around willy-nilly.
Right.
Into swerve jobs. You can't just throw that title into a match. It has to be earned through having it. It's almost like there's a fail-safe. In order to win the Unified Championship, I was thinking about this too. It literally is a fail-safe. So if somebody in WWE fucks up and somebody wins a title, you know, it doesn't automatically, you can't just win the Unified title.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through not one, but both champions in order to create someone before you even give them the title. So it's kind of like, I like it because it really puts on the floor. These are the company men. These are the people that the company believes in to have held this title at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a very weird, like when you look at title reign histories, it's real simple. It's like when one ends, another one begins. But the Unified title might be won and then lost and not worn for fucking years. It could technically not be worn for fucking years. And that's what can make this title really special, that you only see it in the most rarest of circumstance.
I agree. I really cannot argue with that. We'll see if they do that. Kingsley Davies, favorite WrestleMania in the last 10 years for you?
Wow, I wasn't even expecting this one, like I said.
I'm going to go with 35. I mean, Kofi winning the belt. Ronda, Charlotte, Becky, even though the ending kind of went cock-eyes. You know, I even enjoyed Shane McMahon versus The Miz. Triple H Batista was okay. You know, the tag team title match, you know, was pretty damn good. You know, that was the Usos versus The Bar versus Ricochet and Aleister Black versus Rusev and Shinsuke. Right. I mean, some oddball teams there, but you had Brock versus Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe versus Ray Race, Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley. Sasha and Bayley became the first ever. Wait, did they win? No. The Iconics won that night, didn't they?
I don't remember.
No. Wait, I think they.
I try not to remember Iconics.
Holy shit. Well, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on that one, but I don't know. In the last 10 years, I would go with that. If we went a little bit further back, I would choose the WrestleMania where. I don't know. You know, I got to stick with that one. You know what's interesting about Kofi winning the title, Mish? There's a lot of people that forget who he beat that night to win the title. I mean, how many of you out there in the chat right now? How many of you out there? Okay, so some of you put some guesses out there. Some people are saying Daniel Bryan. Who else? What do you pick? Yeah, that's right. The Iconics did win that time. I do remember that now.
It was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it was Daniel Bryan.
Are somebody saying that? Who do they think it is?
No, I was trying to trick somebody into saying like it was Drew McIntyre or somebody.
Oh.
No, but you'd be surprised. Like in the chat room, I talked about it maybe 3 weeks ago. And I said, you know.
Well, that was, you know what? That was also the one where Baron Corbin retired Kurt Angle.
Yes. Well, that was, yeah.
No, that was horrible.
I'm surprised it's you know, that many years already.
Yeah, 2019, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're already 3 years gone by. I mean, if you did, oh, I don't know, maybe it's not that long. Craig Newens, first word or phrase that comes to mind for each co-host I had over those 5,000 episodes. Yeah. Oh, boy, I got to take a little bit of the high road on this one. I mean, it just, you know, as far as regular co-host, Mad Zombie, Maniac, or Scary. I think Scary would be a better word. Guy scared the shit out of me. Brian Damage, Sanity. He's the one that, in fact, if anybody goes online, what's that website that he does, everyone? He's still online. He does a website, a wrestling website, that a lot of people absolutely love. And they don't.
DOI.
No, it's not DOI. He does one now. It's almost like a WrestleCrap website.
Does he?
Yeah, he does. If I told you the site, you'd be like, no fucking way. He does a website. Someone's going to post it. But
kayfabe news. That's
no, it's not kayfabe news. You know what? I'll Google it right now. I will tell you when I. Oh, I know what it is. I didn't have to Google it. Ring the damn bell.
Okay, I've heard of that.
You know, where he talks about like all. If you go on that website, you're gonna be like, no way, that's my former co-host.
Wow.
And the guy, for some reason, he never interacts like he used to. Like he pursued me maybe like a year and a half ago, but he doesn't really bring up like, you know, the old hotline stuff anymore. He just does ring the damn bell, but it's a pretty damn good site. But he was sanity out of everybody. Timmy Austin, you know, zombie, you know, I mean, everybody knows him as the ECW zombie. I like Lee's comment. Kev Castle, I don't even put Skype. I just put cordless phone. I mean, it's you, workhorse, absolutely. Who else? Joey 924, Wheels. That was his nickname. Who's the other guy? Smoked Out, funny. Yeah. Smoked Out was funny.
Black Moses,
underrated. Black Moses, man, he had a head on his shoulders. If you sometimes pay attention to hear him talk, the guy was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he really impressed sometimes, but I think, you know, it just always got overshadowed with the shits and giggles and everything. But he's not around anymore. He hasn't been around in ages. Smoked Out, I haven't talked to in a very long time either.
What about Raccoon Soup?
Oh, God. Jobber Joe? You know what? I actually like Biden. I like that Joe more than I like Jobber Joe. Jobber Joe was just loser, goof. I mean, he was just a clown. He was just a clown. I felt bad. No, I did a couple of shows with him, Ben. I definitely did some shows with him. I mean, he was on for probably about 15 episodes.
He came on. Yeah, I remember he came on like a special guest. So like back in the day when Don Tony would take calls, Jobber Joe came on a couple of those calls. Because I used to come on the fucking calls too. Yeah. So did Leader One. So did Deadpool. Mm. God, Sal or Vig would even come on back in the day. Obviously, Miss Destiny would be a frequencer, you know?
Dave the Genetic Freak. That's another guy that was on for a while. The best word I could put for him, wannabe. He wanted to be famous. He wanted to be noticed. He wanted to be an outcast. He reminds me of one or two that hang out in the chat and just write outrageous stuff just to be noticed, you know, than actually giving like good insight. And he was just annoying, man. I'll never forget that he...
I saw Sal in your chat the other day. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, Sal from Arizona, yes.
Yeah, he was in there last night. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Is that Sal?
Yeah, he shows up.
Because I know his real name.
Yeah.
And for some reason, is on YouTube, he's actually using his real fucking name. And I'm like, Sal, I love you, Sal.
He grew up. Doing? Yeah, he grew up a little bit. He grew up, but the Dave the Genetic Freak, I'll never forget when he said that Andre versus Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 3 was one of the worst matches in the history of pro wrestling. He didn't understand the magnitude of the storyline and the build and everything like that. He was strictly about work rate. But yeah, that's my quick, you know, overview as far as, you know, and being a little bit nice as well. So, Joe Maurer, I never had a favorite.
You forgot a few. You forgot Maniac.
Oh, yeah, Miss Maniac. Kevin. Iconic. No, I said cordless phone.
Oh, yeah.
Maniac, iconic. I mean, character, just unique. I think that'd probably be a good word. Yeah. Unique. I can't put Joey on here because Joey Numbers, I mean, we're only on like once or twice.
He went to a few shows.
Yeah, but Joe Maurer, I never had a favorite history episode to cover. I know that might sound like a little bit of a cheap way out, but the best way I could say this is every episode had so much history behind it, and I relived so many memories. So, you know,
maybe not favorite, but I would imagine when you're talking about the Chris Benoit tragedy, it's a lot more close to home because you were right there talking about it as it fucking happened. So it's more about not looking back and seeing like the history told through other people's eyes, but you can recant all of that yourself with your firsthand information, you know?
Yeah. But with this week in wrestling history, I didn't spend that much time like on those episodes. He's talking about the compilation episodes. Like as far as an individual episode, oh yeah.
Dude, I remember everybody was insane in that chat room. That was one of those Mondays where like usually pay-per-views were always crowding out the chat room, and you had like a 2000 capped chat room at the time. And I remember it was so bad trying to even get in there. There must have been flooding because I think the chat room even shut down on that Monday like multiple times because it was just flooded so hard. So there was like tens of thousands of people trying to get in, trying to listen to the show and chat about it live. It was very scary. It was very scary, yeah. And very surreal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. SRH John, Gargano's not coming back to NXT anytime soon. I like your fantasy booking idea, but Gargano is taking, you know, some opportunities outside right now. He's not coming back anytime soon. So, Andrew 914, if Gremlins makes a remake, do we think they will leave out the microwave scene?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just, to me, it's an outdated scene. Yeah. Better heel manager, Mish, the Encyclopedia Britannica guy or the ShamWow guy?
ShamWow guy.
Yeah. Easily. Absolutely. Yeah. Didn't he get like his nuts bitten off by a prostitute or something?
By a hooker, yeah. Dude, when you're stiffing hookers and you're a celebrity ShamWow fucking infomercial guy, like, come on.
It would have been funny. You know, nobody asked at that time. I just realized that if he was bleeding, I wonder if he wiped it with the ShamWow.
Yeah, he soaked it right up. No muss, no fuss, DT.
Oh, man. Does ketchup belong on the side of fries or drenched on top?
Side.
Yeah.
What kind of monster drenches their fries?
Yeah, it makes them all soggy.
Well, not only that, you'll get one fry that's like completely drenched in fucking ketchup, and then another fry on the side that has like just a little color, just a little opening, you know?
Yeah. What's worse, Stephanie for taking away Triple H from China or Triple H cheating on China?
I would say Stephanie.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. That one's different.
Yeah,
I would say Stephanie was a little bit more because from the accounts of people that talked about it in different shoot interviews and stuff like that, they made it very much sound, and even through China herself, although she was quite vindictive, if Stephanie wanted it, Stephanie got it. You know, so even though Triple H has his own choices, you know, presenting yourself as the daughter of the boss in your job, in your field,
yeah,
is more temptation than just a piece of tail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I bet you her pillow talk was, I can get you a push. I can get you a match with The Rock. Seriously, if you think about it, like, dude, this isn't just some other woman. This is the boss's daughter who's like, she's into you. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'll totally get you a main event match at WrestleMania. Yeah, mm-hmm. Let me just talk to Dad.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, that's the best pillow talk ever.
Yeah. 8 years ago, you mentioned digestive biscuits. Have you ever tried them?
Yes, I have. They are very hard. And they're kind of tasteless. I forgot which one I had. They had like a little bit of a honey wheat taste to them. But digestive biscuits are the same things that they give to babies. Like they're like the baby biscuit and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I never had them, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're all
right. No word on the fan that was on Wrestling with Shadows that was motivated by Bret Hart. I actually have Googled that before. There is no update on her. Mike Adamley using the phrase "you're making me crazy" for Kofi was Kofi's phrase. So saying it now,
it was a joke.
Yeah,
it was a joke with joke years before that.
Yep.
Yeah.
You ever play Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, I own a bunch of them. I actually have like all the decks, all the main decks and the side decks. We used to play it on the Discord. There's a website you can go to where you can play Cards Against Humanity, and it's free. And a lot of people have added their own cards, so it gets pretty crazy. But yeah, maybe we'll do a game night one night.
I've always wanted to play it. Never played it.
Oh, dude, it was so stupid. You're such a, you can tell who the real scumbags are by games like Cards Against Humanity and then the one from Jackbox that we used to play all the time where we'd have to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried Diet Snapple?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
It was one of the first diet drinks I really got into. That and Diet Fruitopia. That shit sucked.
Did we ever see Do the Right Thing when it aired, edited on regular TV in the 90s? When they said Mickey Ficky instead of motherfucker. I never watched it.
Oh, I mean, trying to figure out what the fuck I was watching TV-wise in the 90s. I'm sure I watched everything.
Man. I mean, with cable and everything, I don't see why we would even want to watch edited movies in the 90s unless we just did it for laughs, you know? Once it got to, like, middle 80s, then it was just like, no.
Well, that used to be a fucking thing, though, too. I remember purposely watching movies on television just to see how they would screw it up. Like, I remember seeing, I think it was like Pulp Fiction on TBS or something. And it was like, with all the curse words in Pulp Fiction, like everything was changed. And it was comical. It was absolutely comical, like in a whole different way, because they wouldn't show the scene where she was getting stabbed in the chest. You know, they had to censor that out. And a lot of the gun scenes were like, they were shown, but they were clipped fast. A lot of the things that they said, they completely omitted the scene where Wallace is getting rammed in the ass by Zed. So they completely removed that. I remember laughing my ass off as to how bad this is, thinking that somebody that's never seen Pulp Fiction is watching this for the first time and going, I don't understand why people like this movie.
Like, I have a whole library of made-for-TV movies. Like, that were edited for TV.
Here, do you?
Oh my God, I have. I mean,
you
from
put shit like that.
I have. You know what? You know what I could do? I mean, I have them all. I could maybe next week. Maybe we could do it on Tuesday, just for a couple of laughs. I could. I have the software now. I could throw the DVD, and I could even convert it to video and just play parts of it, you know, online, so you could all watch it. I mean, I have everything. I have from Halloween, I have the Blues Brothers, I have Caddyshack, I have Scarface.
Yeah, you got
Airplane.
Scarface would be a good one. You have to pick movies where there's a lot of curse words and there's a lot of like sex or violence.
I have Nine and a Half Weeks.
Caddyshack, or, you know, there's only a couple of scenes here and there that need to be censored. But when you get into movies like Scarface,
Stripes.
How the fuck do they show all the coke, you know?
I have Stripes. The Halloween one was funny because there was one scene where Michael Myers, the original Halloween, where the girl was topless in the room. Yeah. And what they did was they only showed like the view from his eyeballs. So literally 90% of the TV screen was like just a black screen and all you saw was the eyes. It was just weird. But I have, oh my God. In fact, I think I had sent Kevin a few in the years ago. I have a whole collection. I mean, I probably have about 30, 40 movies. And they're included with the commercials when they first aired on TV. You know, the NBC movie of the week, Airplane. You know, I have them all.
You want to hear a funny one that was made for TV? What was it called? Strippers? Oh, no. What was it called? Fuck. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. And I remember seeing it at the Showgirls.
Oh, Showgirls.
Showgirls with the girl from the head of the class. Dude, it was nothing but fucking and nudity. And I can't imagine how zoomed in that whole movie is.
I got to check. I don't think I have that one, though. I know I have Flashdance, but I don't remember that one. I mean, I know the movie you're talking about.
TV, on commercial TV, Dusk Till Dawn is another movie with a lot of nudity and a lot of cursing. Yeah.
I got to check. If Snitsky ever made the Hall of Fame, who would his inductor be? he ain't going in the Hall of Fame, so.
Snitsky, I would have to say it would probably be Lita. Wouldn't it make more sense if it was
Lita? You know, that actually is a pretty good one. That's actually a pretty good one when you really think about it. So, do we think the Benoit house is haunted?
No.
Did you know a YouTube channel that I watch, if anybody wants to check it out, his name is Scott on Tape. If anybody Googles it, he actually just posted yesterday or the day before he went to the Benoit house. He didn't go inside, but he put a drone over there. And he's right in front of Benoit's house and shows, you know, the location. And when you see the drone footage overhead, they lived isolated. Isolated. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, if you all want to go check it out after, the name of the channel is Scott on Tape. And you could tell him Don Tony sent you over. But he just did an episode. He actually visited the Benoit house.
Wow.
Yeah. So what's this? Ring of Honor headed for a sale. Oh, you know what? We've been talking about that with maybe Tony Khan's announcement. So doesn't surprise me. I think it's the only way that Ring of Honor possibly lives on. Do we remember the Story of America cards that we used to get in the mail in the 80s?
I kind of remember getting those. Yeah. Oh, that's about as far as it goes. But yeah, I remember having those. I had a lot of weird American propaganda stuff when I was a kid that was sent to me in the mail. And I always thought it was because I was a part of the YMCA. I did. I was a dumb kid. So I would always get these like little flags. Or the biggest thing that I got was, it was a giant, like a bunch of maps of old UK and Germany and America and like of Vietnam. And they were like satellite images. Now we're talking about in the fucking 80s where satellite images isn't really a thing. And these things were huge laminates, DT. And on them, they were like different places where battles took place, or places where there were, you know, like Fort Myers or where is Paris Island? That's what it was. One of my maps was Paris Island, which obviously if anybody in the Marines knows or anybody in the fucking military knows, that's where they go to train a lot of the Marines and stuff like that. Places in Vietnam that were actually overheads. And once again, satellite images to a kid in the 80s was mind blowing. And so with that came a bunch of these magnetic, like these little things that I would put on top, and I would play with them. Like I would run my Hot Wheels on the roads of fucking Saigon and shit. Like, cause I'm a dumb kid, not realizing that these are satellite images of places that the American military has either bombed or attacked, or, you know what I mean? Like, but it was just weird patriotism propaganda shit I got, man.
Yeah. If you are, I only remember the, you know, you could get 12 cassette tapes for a penny. You taped a penny to the paper and you mail it back in and you got 12 tapes in the mail or albums.
Oh, the Columbia House.
Columbia House. I subscribed to one or two over the back then.
There was never any comeuppance if you didn't buy the rest.
Yeah.
People would just get 12 of them, go, yeah, here, thanks. Here's a penny.
Most money ever spent at a baseball game on food and merch, I haven't a clue.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Probably $100 on food. I don't really buy memorabilia ever, but ever in a merchandise at a game other than maybe like a program, or a hat, you know, but I used to love going to the Mets clubhouse, but their jerseys were crazy. They were like over $300 for one. So,
Oh wow.
They were insane.
You're talking about back in like the '80s.
Yeah. They were a lot of money. They were definitely a lot of money. Ben is saying $100 on food. Yeah, you sit in the skybox at a baseball game and they deliver food service to you. You buy a sandwich and a beer and then maybe like another sandwich and a drink for someone else. That's probably about $70. You're on Gilligan's Island. You could be with one. You can have Mary Ann Ginger or you get Mrs. Howell and her briefcase.
You nasty motherfucker. You threw in Miss Howell? Get the fuck out of here. Jesus Christ. Mrs. Howell. I'd rather be with a fucking skipper than Mrs. Howell.
Yeah. I probably would go with Ginger. Only because I always had a little crush on Marianne, but I could just imagine like the next morning. Oh, I made you cookies. You know, like she wouldn't just leave you to fuck alone. Like Ginger would probably like no sell you the next day and you'd be like, good, leave me alone. I think Marianne would just be a leech.
She was the seductress. Yeah. Marianne was the girl you would have a lot of fun with and take home to mom. Ginger was the one night stand.
Yeah.
That's all she was.
Yeah, I could just picture Marianne. Oh, I made you this outfit out of leaves. You know, like, just like, leave me alone. Just, that's it. It's over. The moment's over.
Please, like, I'd bang this.
Go get rescued. Had Luther Reigns been given the name Roman instead, what name do we think Roman would have gotten instead? I have no idea.
Luther Reigns. Luther.
Yeah, maybe he would have got Luther.
Maybe they could bring back Luther Reigns as Roman Reigns, his long lost step cousin. Yeah, or some right. Shit.
And God, dude. Positive storylines for Vince Russo. You know, you look at a lot of the DX stuff. I mean, Vince Russo did a lot of good stuff. I mean,
a lot of the Nation of Domination stuff with Rocky. Mm-hmm. He had a big hand in that. Absolutely. Yep. Some of the sadder stuff, though, too, like the Jeff Jarrett China.
Mark Nez with a quick rapid fire. Cassie Lee
Sable stuff too, like he made Sable big, like he was really a big proponent of Sable even back when she was with Mark Marrow.
Mark Nez with a quick rapid fire. Cassie Lee or Jessica McKay, you know, the members of the Iconics. I go as Cassie.
What? I'm trying to understand what his context is.
I guess, which one would you prefer?
Oh, romantically?
Yeah, I guess.
I guess I have to go with Kay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
She's got a better personality between the two of them. I'm sorry. I know the one is, you know, woo-woo's girl, but I don't know, dude.
Cruiserweight. Which match would we have both preferred to have seen in person? Flair versus Steamboat at Chi-Town Rumble or Bret Hart versus Steve Austin WrestleMania 13?
Oh, WrestleMania 13, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love what that Rumble match.
Was fucking amazing, and it's obviously a piece of my city's history, but fuck, Austin and Bret, that was like iconic. That is a legendary match.
Yeah. Do we think that Ricky Steamboat is more underrated or more underappreciated in pro wrestling history?
Huh.
I think it's underrated because I think everybody appreciates him, but nobody I think ever really felt that he was world championship material, even though he did win the heavyweight title for a short period of time.
That's a damn good fucking coin flip of a question. I am genuinely surprised. Well, thank you for that one, Crazy. Yeah, it is a very interesting question. I don't want to say underappreciated, but I understand what he means when he says that. Look, Ricky Steamboat has been around in so many different facets of wrestling. I mean, even recently with the ROH stuff, and I say recently being over 10 years ago. But underrated, I think hindsight is very forgiving to Ricky Steamboat, And a lot of people look at him with rose-colored glasses. But at the same time, I think he should be involved in wrestling more now than ever before, because it needs a voice of somebody that isn't a complete crackpot. Look, I love Ric Flair, but if I have to hear more about Ric Flair talking about his next divorce, I'm going to fucking lose my mind. I'm going to get divorced. It seems like a lot of these older guys lose their fucking minds. Billy Graham, right? You know, like there's a lot of these older dudes that not all, absolutely not. But we need more positive representation.
I tried to watch Ric Flair with Mark Madden. It's brutal. I mean, Ric Flair just talks like he's got cotton in his mouth. I mean, yeah. I try to get past it, but I started watching him talking about Cody. I literally had to turn it off after 3 minutes.
You know, the problem is too, and you can't really blame Mark Madden. And I try to explain this to people because there's a lot of people that don't like Mark. And I'm like, you have to understand, he's a wheel and deal Monday morning fucking breakfast zoo guy. That's what Mark Madden is best at. So when he's trying to get that excitement flowing through Ric Flair, and Ric Flair is answering questions while he's staring at his phone like a fucking teenager, you know what I mean? I really give a lot of credit to Mark, because I don't know if I would be able to handle doing multiple shows with a guy who barely can stand being around himself. Let alone telling stories and stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mark Madden does a good job of hammering out Rick's bullshit. He does. And I understand what you mean. It's difficult to watch. It's difficult to listen to, because it is. It really fucking is, especially for people like me and you. And I'm not trying to classify us, but for as many years as we've just talked for a living, or even for a gig or a hobby or whatever you want to call it, for as many years as we've done on our small stage, it's impossible to think that our co-host would be somebody like Ric Flair. I'd lose my fucking mind if Ric Flair was my co-host.
I couldn't. No matter how much I cared about him, I couldn't. I just couldn't. Right. It's just too difficult. Especially with his one-sentence answers. He just seems so disinterested to be there, but...
Or he starts talking about shit that has nothing, not even remotely anything to do with what Mark asked. Yeah. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Mark. And I hit up Mark a few times. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Mark, you did a good job out there. He's like, oh, I know I did. I'm the best. And I laugh because that's him staying positive. But the reality is I know damn well Mark is like, Jesus Christ, Rick's a pain in my ass. But, my gig.
Yeah.
And by the way, thank you for all those pictures in the chat, by the way. Each one of those is being saved to a special folder. Thank you.
Cruiserweight's last question. What did I do with it? Here it is. Okay. Which time period would you have preferred to live in? Colonial era or the Civil War era? I'd probably go with colonial times.
Oh, I'm still staring at Gigi Dolan's ass. Sorry. Colonial.
Colonial. For me, colonial. little impromptu rapid fire for everybody tuning in live. And we'll just say two words and you type the one. Gigi Dolan or Nikita Lyons?
Oh, come on. That's not funny.
So let's see.
Who asked that shit?
No. I'm giving it to the chat room right now.
Oh,
they have to pick. Jesus. They have to pick. So we won't repeat anybody's choices. But I'm just curious.
What you fucking thick chasers?
Yeah,
man, are you kidding me? Did you not see those Gigi Dolan fucking pictures? I don't know, man. Nikita's all right, but yeah. There you go, Jay Carlos. Attaboy. Welcome to the dark side. There you go, John. Absolutely.
All right. This one's from Jeff Lipman. If we were to set Crazy Cruiserweight up with a female wrestler over the age of 30 to try to set him straight, who would it be?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't understand his type. That's fine. Like, he likes younger women. Like, look, I've made my peace with that. I've said my thoughts about that. I think it's really something I don't understand, because even when I was a younger guy, and maybe you can explain this to me, DT, because I don't understand that. But even when I was 20 years old, I never had a cutoff age.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I mean, when they're like, the skin is falling off their neck and shit, like, that's not attractive, right? But there were, I mean, trying to think, like, women like Cindy Crawford were fucking attractive. Kathy Ireland was attractive. These women were 20 years older than me. You know, there was women from, like, the Farrah Fawcett was fucking gorgeous. You know, like, there was absolutely women of all walks of time in life that were attractive. And there was nothing wrong with it. So I don't know how to answer that question, Jeff. Because I don't understand what it's like to look at a woman and see the number and just go, oh, you're gross now.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Ben from G-Town. How scared would you be if you ran into a dark alley? Daniel Garcia was there. You ran into Daniel Garcia in a dark alley.
Why would I be afraid?
Yeah, that's true.
Why would 6 foot six fat boy like me be afraid? Like,
that's a good.
I'm not running too fast from people, anyways. You know.
Yeah, and why hasn't the CIA tried to assassinate Vladimir Putin? I don't think it's that easy.
Oh, I'm sure they've tried. I'm sure there's been some attempts. I wouldn't fucking doubt it. Mm. Well, you got to realize though too. I mean, before Biden, you had Trump buddying up to Putin. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I would say during those 4 years, there was probably a lot more relaxed contact between him and Russia, between the U.S. and Russia. I mean, technically, they were our, quote, fingers friends, you know, for a while there. So I don't know, man. I think we're in a weird state. Because of the threats that have been made, we can react by giving Ukraine weapons and armaments, which is what we did. And I was telling this to somebody earlier too, and I was trying to explain what the Ukraine-Russian war is. And what it is Ukraine is Russia's Vietnam. And let me explain that. When Tompkins Bay happened with the U.S., and we went in there for our police action, quote fingers, and we were attacking the Vietnamese, the NVC, and trying to wrestle control from Ho Chi Minh and everything else like that. The Chinese and the Russians were supplying Vietnam with weapons and armaments. Now, Russia is attacking the Ukraine. China wants almost nothing to do with Russia on this front. They don't want to be dragged into it. They don't want to have to pull their own triggers. But on the other side, this tiny country of Ukraine is being helped by UN, NATO, Germany, America. All these countries are coming to the aid of Ukraine and harboring them. Poland is harboring them. Romania is harboring them. There's more than, 500,000 people that have left and gone to different countries? Like, but all of our countries are stepping in, not military strength-wise, but we're giving them everything they could possibly want and need. So in the same way that Vietnam was supported by China and Russia, the reverse is happening with Russia and Ukraine. The Ukraine is being supported by American and European forces. And if this doesn't get resolved quickly, then it's going to be a very long war between the Ukraine and Russia. Mm.
It's fucked up. It's really fucked up. Well, I hope it ends soon. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
All right. Nice segue, Chris Lumna. Who's your favorite Muppet?
Animal.
Yeah, I got to go with Animal too. I mean, I like impersonating Kermit, but animals.
And maybe the old man on the balcony.
Yeah, he likes Waldorf and Statler.
Yeah, Waldorf and Statler. Dude, they're shit talkers. They're great.
Yeah. Who goes in the WWE Hall of Fame first? Chris, Cyndi Lauper, or Andy Kaufman?
Andy Kaufman. Absolutely. I love Cyndi, don't get me wrong, but she was indirect for wrestling. Andy Kaufman was a part of wrestling, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I'd love to see Andy Kaufman put in. Mm-hmm. Who is The Rock's greatest comic relief co-star? Sean William Scott, Johnny Knoxville, or Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I always thought Ryan Reynolds, even though I don't like, you know, a lot of his movies.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not into The Rock's movies.
No, right. Oh, I thought you meant The Rock. I thought you meant Ryan Reynolds
movies. Oh, no, no, The Rock. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, all those three of those actors I'm fine with. You know, and I'm a late bloomer as far as being a fan of Johnny Knoxville. I did not like that guy for ages. Now I actually, I think he's cool.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. Could current events affect the UK title reign of Ilya Dragunov? I say no.
No, God, no. Let's not do that. I saw somebody saying that the other day, too. Lana was being asked questions. How do you feel if WWE erased you and your husband's legacy in WWE? And I don't think she responded to it, but it was a weird question that somebody asked her. And it's not weird just because they said it. It's weird because you wonder if WWE sees something like that and thinks that way. And I would really hate that if they just started removing all the Rusev stuff. But you got to wonder, man. We live in a weird fucking time.
Yeah, somebody asked me that on the show the other day. They asked if I thought that they would Peacock would, you know, delete some of the Putin references.
Yeah, that's Alana. They asked her directly. Wow. They asked her directly. Yeah, dude. People are out there, man.
Yeah, I put up on YouTube in the community section if anybody wanted to send some ideas for maybe the next collaboration you'd like to see. It doesn't have to be me alone. I mean, I already said, you know, you, me, and Lee will do an episode very soon.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, some examples that he came up with was Joey Numbers, Lee, Greg Morgan from Good Mic Work, Drew Yari, JD from New York, and Matthew, Botchamania.
So, Matthew would be good, too. Yeah. Yeah, you should get Joe on. You should hit up Joe.
Yeah, I just want to have some, like, good shit to talk about. You know, the debate, I mean, I fell out of favor with Donald Trump, so the debate is...
Dude, that's already 6 years ago.
I know. Last for tonight, King Ace. First off, will I ever do something again with Kevin Castle? Well, like I said, I had proposed a while back that when the channel hit 50,000 subscribers, I would definitely do a special episode with him. He has told people publicly and privately he has no interest. So that's why I don't answer that question often. And that's why when people ask on YouTube, especially, I just ignore it because that's been answered several times already. I have seen DMs that he sent to people and I've seen stuff publicly. He has no interest, and that's it. You know, it's nothing bad, nothing good. It's just, you know, we don't want to force an issue. So, trust me, I thought about it more than once about doing an episode here and there. Hell, Mitch will even say, I even thought about the possibility of having tonight be a little three-way. But the problem is, you know, number one, you do it once, and people will just hound the shit out of you to do it again and again and again and again and again. And
oh, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, keeping something closed is probably the best thing, you know, for everybody involved. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. But, you know, there's no, like, anger or anything like that anymore. Believe it or not, I actually had someone reach out to Joey924 not to do an episode, but just to see how he was doing, you know, and... I don't hate the guy. Joey924 was definitely a little bit of a pain in the ass sometimes. You know, we had some wars as well, and I just thought it was an absolute dick move for him to, you know, like, say a lot of fucked up stuff and then hide behind a wheelchair. Yeah. I mean, I felt bad for his disability. I really did. I mean, I was in a wheelchair for 9 months. It's no joke. And there was a lot of, about Joey that I liked. But what he would do is he would grow a set and say some really, really harsh shit. And then when you tried to go back at him, he would say, how could you say that to a guy that's in a wheelchair? And it's like, that was the beginning of the end. I mean, so. Also, do I have a favorite memory from the 5,000 episodes? This is more of a question from his bro, because his bro is actually the one that got him into the shows. The Benoit episode, which is sad because it was a tragedy, but it was just surreal to start off the show paying tribute to Benoit. And by the end of the show, we were spitting on his grave and he wasn't even buried yet. I mean, everything was coming in real time. And it's a wild episode to go back on. I mean, I kind of wish that the audio, I actually thought a couple of times about sending it out to a company to like really professionally digitize and improve the audio quality on all sides. But I think it's better to just leave it in its organic form.
Yeah.
You know, but that episode, one time I did an episode while I was in a pool at my parents' house. This was around 2006 or 2007. The one hotline report I did with Shark Boy when I was blasted drunk and he was drunk. And we were, for those that don't know that story, I did a wrestling show. And Shark Boy was on the show as well. Afterwards, we went to a bar and we were drinking and we got blitzed. And I got in my car and I was going to drop him off at his hotel. And he's like, you know, like, why don't you call your hotline? Let's do a hotline report. Because he knew about the hotline. I'm like, yeah. So I call the hotline and I'm like, hey, what's up, everyone? You know, I don't know what I was calling it at the time. And I'm like, I got a special guest on. And we just laughed our ass off. And I was driving around and I was drunk. And, you know, I give Dean all the credit for being smart when I wasn't. And he's like, dude, I think we should delete this. And I'm like, why? He's like, you almost had an accident twice. He's like, you know, we're drunk right now. We shouldn't be driving or anything. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And I deleted it. But it was on for probably about a half an hour. And we were just shits and giggles and just laughing. And we were just talking about like people that we had like met in like the bars and stuff. Yeah. But it was so funny, man. It was because a lot of people don't realize in 2002, nobody really knew much about Shark Boy. They really didn't. And for those that don't know, Shark Boy was on a very early, I think it might have been XPW's second ever show in the Northeast. Shark Boy was on XPW, I think in 2002. And I remember, it's weird, I remember Sonny Siaki also being on that card and Sonny Siaki watching him prepare in the locker room. Was pretty wild. That motherfucker is intense. Yeah. I mean, I can't even describe his preparation, but it's intense. And the only thing I remember from that night also was that night, for some reason, the XPW event itself did not click on all cylinders. And all throughout the night, all you kept hearing were loud chants for Shark Boy. Shark Boy, right. Shark Boy, Shark. Now, again, this is 2002, maybe January 2003. This is way before Shark Boy became a household name in TNA and everything like that. And to hear that loud of a crowd chanting for Shark Boy all throughout the night, when nobody really even knew who the hell he was, that's one of the things we talked about on the hotline. Which was funny. I wish I wasn't behind the wheel. I mean, look, you know, I ended up going home right after and I'm not thrilled and I don't drink behind the wheel. You know, that was just stupid on that night and, you know, I don't do it again, but that was memorable. That was memorable. Another one doing a hotline was when XPW canceled their second show and I was in Philly, and I had a bus trip the next day.
Yeah.
And I had no way of getting in touch with everybody who was going to be the bus trip. So I went on my hotline and I'm like, look, everybody, if you happen to hear this, you know, don't go to the bus trip. It's canceled. XPW, you know, pussied out and they canceled their show, even though the snowstorm is not scheduled to hit until the day after.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some over the years. The falling out I had with Joey 924 was pretty epic.
Dude, I loved your product meltdowns. There was a time during the show, and I got to be a part of one of the episodes, but you would melt down on everything from cereals to candy bars. When you dealt with that Indian lady.
Oh, sure.
Communication service.
The Chase Chronicles.
Yeah, dude. Like, you, yep. You had some fantastic breakdowns. And, like, a lot of it might not be PC today. But, dude, they were absolutely funny because they weren't necessarily funny because of the things you say. They were funny because they were emotional. And we all understood being that frustrated by stupid shit. Like, but on the good side, though, and I'll never forget this, too, was when you went after fucking Neutro. Holy shit. You may as well have had a sword, a flaming sword in your hand. You wanted to take down that company so fucking bad. And I think, I mean, besides the trolls, obviously trolls being trolls, but for a lot of us, we're like, yeah, fuck this company. They're out there hurting animals. Fuck them. Fuck these people. They're selling you poisoned dog food. Go fuck yourself. Dude, I remember that shit. You've had some great emotional moments back in those days. Like, you were able to really just open up. And the cool thing was, because social media wasn't as judgmental as it is today, because there's a lot of faux outrage. We all know that. Anybody listening to this shit live, listening on the download, you know there's tons of faux fucking outrage just so people can get some clout or some attention. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of things that you said and did back then that were inspiring. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying.
Like, oh, yeah, no, it was fun. I mean, it, you know, yes, I do remember Angle Foods. Angle Foods, LLC.
Cut that all up, too. I remember that shit, too. Kipper,
kipper, kipper. That was the Muppet too, the chef. No, it was fun. It was organic. That's what made it all fun. It was, nothing was rehearsed. Nothing was organic, you know, and, you know, it was great times.
No, it wasn't rehearsed. Like I said, even I remember the candy bars, you going off on different fucking candy mm-hmm. bars, how one of them stuck to your teeth and you fucking hated
it. Oh, man. Stuck to your teeth.
Oh, no, it was Halloween candies. That was the one. And we were talking about, was it Bit of Honey? Bit of Honey.
It might have been Bit of Honey. It might have been Jolly Ranchers. I mean, I know some of them, they just, no, it was fun. I mean,
it was fun because besides the wrestling, which is what all of us came in for. I mean, during the Minority Report days and during the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle shows, when I'll speak on it. During those days, it was about the wrestling. And you would do shows that were probably around the three-hour mark. Sometimes they would go into the four-hour mark, especially with the Minority Report stuff. But with Kevin, it was like 2.5 to 3 hours. That was the average show. And in that time, all of us that were around back then knew that the show wasn't just going to be about Monday Night Raw. It wasn't going to be just about the pay-per-view. It wasn't going to be just about, you know, SmackDown or TNA. But it was always going to be a collaboration of all of that plus human shit. Your shows had a lot of human shit on there. A lot of real experiences. Dude, and I know Kevin still talks about it, but even when Kevin talked, when his dad passed, human shit. Like, stuff that people can relate to. And even, I mean, even if they didn't have that kind of a close bond, I mean, even with your family, Jesus Christ, DT. I know people fucking give you grief for the Conan story and shit like that, but people don't really understand the reason you've told that story so many times. is because it was fucking important to you.
It was also mentally exhausting. Important to you. It was very exhausting.
And all of these people were fucking important to you. So when I see silly little troll shit out there, like, oh, he's telling the fucking story again, I kind of laugh with it because I'm like, yeah, but you guys don't really realize when he's telling that, that was a moment that was that changed Anthony de Blasi's life because he was doing something exceptional, you know? And I mean, it's more than just those.
It was rough, man. People don't know what it's like when you're, you know, heading up a drive like that and, you know, you're trying to, you know, I've never held a charity before and then raising that kind of money and then trying to get press out there and then you're trying to keep everything transparent and in the midst of all of this, you're getting a lot of hate mail and you're also getting hate mail from people. And like I said, I still have some of them saved. And, you know, one woman telling me that, you know, she's got like an 11-year-old kid that's on a deathbed that's been waiting for a kidney for like 5 years and, you know, she's not going to make it. And yet, you know, I have the audacity to do a drive so he can, you know, jump the line and stuff like that. And, it, you know, when you get people like really like doing stuff like that, even when I wrote back, I'm like, look, you know, this is being done in Mexico. And it's people didn't want to hear it. And, you know, and plus it was very frustrating to have so many websites out there because they didn't like me that just wouldn't post the stuff, would just ignore it, you know, not do anything. That's why I always feel like a little in debt to Meltzer because as crazy as Meltzer may come across to a lot of people right now, he stepped up. He and Bill Apter were the two, you know, that posted my shit whenever I asked. And, you know, like, look, I even mentioned, you know, there's people in wrestling that really went out of their way to help. And, you know, I only recently talked about, you know, how much April Hunter tried to help behind the scenes. I never revealed that before. What the hell's his name? Oh God, Jason Knight, sexiest man alive for ECW. That guy stepped up and offered so much shit, you know, to like donate and stuff like that. It was very draining. I mean, it was just emotionally draining and, you know,
but I mean, it was good things that you were doing. Like, look, you got in a lot of trouble.
let's
be honest. You ruffled a lot of feathers and you got in a lot of trouble. But the reality is 5,000 episodes, you've grown a lot in a lot of different ways. You've changed in a lot of different ways. And I'll argue for the better. I think there's a lot of things that you do now that is better for you as a human being than some of the hot takes that you had many years ago, whether they were entertaining or not. I think as far as a fucking host of a show, you've become insanely better. And I think specifically over the last few years, you pumping out shows like this started off rocky. And man, you took to it like a fucking fish to water. Now you're comfortable with it. You host a good show. There are people that watch. There are people that are entertained by you. And now people can go back. And things like Breakfast with Blasi and things like This Week in Wrestling History are important little cornerstones that have not only survived this time, but you've inspired so many other podcasters yourself, myself included.
I'll say this, though. You know, I don't want to get too much into it because we're going to wrap it up anyway. But, you know, like I was an asshole and I still am at times, but I was a big asshole back in the day. And what angers me still to this day is that, yeah, you may dislike someone, but when shit goes down and something is wrong and there is a problem and something needs to be done about it, you put your personal shit aside and you do whatever needs to be done. And I still, and it, this actually pertains to now, I still think back to when I was, you know, trying to get everybody to spread the word and, you know, trying to, you know, get as much money raised for Conan because it was a life or death situation. And, you know, to see like big news sites just delete, delete, delete. And I'm like, come on, man. And I even wrote to some. I'm like, look, this is about saving a guy's life. This is not about me. I put Georgie Ann's name on it. You don't even have to put my name on it. And they still delete. Yeah. Like that personal, you know, like anger was more important to them than anything else. And it still happens today because I will never publicly name names. I will never publicly name names. But I will say this. The night Daphne went on her social media and made the threats and ended up actually going through with it, there was countless people online trying to get her phone number, trying to get her address, trying to this. And I went nuts. I went into my storage room and I just started throwing shit around, trying to find all the cards, all the letters, everything that she sent to me up until like 2 years ago. And I found two phone numbers. One of them was good because I left a message. And I found an address. And I got online and I DM'd seven people that are in journalism that I don't normally talk to. And I said, look, I said, you know, I've been friendly with her for 20 years. I have tons of things she sent me as recently as 2 years ago. I have an address here. I have a phone number here. I don't want to post it publicly. If you, you know, get back to me and I'll send it to you. And six of those seven never responded. Not even, you know, dude, thank you. Or no, I think we got it. You know, okay. You know, this and that. Six of the seven just ignored everything that I sent them. And it was like, okay, I know I had said shit about some of these people in the past. No question. I used to rag on everybody. But we're talking about somebody who's threatening to kill themselves. And six of those seven people to this day has never once even sent me a DM back and like, you know, like, look, you know, I appreciate you sending this or thank you for trying or, you know, thanks for the information. Just didn't even acknowledge it. And right. And this was not even something I wrote to them publicly. I sent it privately because I wanted to give it to them privately. And six of the seven never responded to this day. So it immediately gave me flashbacks to Conan. And I realized that's why people need to understand. That's why I don't take shit from anybody anymore. Because what I have realized is that there's a lot of two-faced people out there. And a lot of these people, especially with the blue check marks, that come across as these genuinely good people, they are absolute snakes in the grass behind the scenes. And there is a clique. There is a clique of them online. There is a bunch of them. And if you're not part of that clique, you know, they could give a flying fuck about anybody else until something happens to themselves. And then they're going to want everybody to get involved. But right. I don't even sweat it. That's why I only concern myself with my own work, with everybody that supports me, my friends, you, everybody tuning in online, my family, my fiance. And that's all I care about. I don't give a shit about this country anymore. I mean, I care. I mean, I take care of my surroundings. I treat everybody the way I want to be treated. I try to help wherever I can. I tried to help a little bit with the Ukraine with a little, you know, donation earlier. But I don't care if Biden is president. I don't care if Trump is president. I don't care if Kermit the Frog is president. I have realized that, you know, no matter what I do, it's not going to change them. It's not going to change. I can only control anything around me. And that's all I care about. Yeah. And that's how I'm going to be forever. You know, I had a couple of cancer scares and people, you know, publicly, you know, man, send your thoughts and prayers. And then I get, you know, like a screenshot from a message board. One of them with funny emojis when somebody said, I hope he fucking drops dead. Same person who said thoughts and prayers to me posted laughing emojis on a message board. And I'm like, okay, no problem. I get it. I see how the sauce is made. I mean, but right now, honestly, I only care about the people that show me respect. I show respect back. And that's why, you know, now I just try to have fun. Some people don't like it. Some people think I'm, you know, PC now, which I know I'm not. And even the stuff I with Jason. Yeah,
dude, you have to be a little bit reduced. You have to be. You can't.
Yeah, I know it's all good. You get old. You get mature. You wise up. You know, you get older. You know, you get some health scares. You know, you mature a little bit. You try to reprioritize, you know, what's important. But even like, you know, what I did on Thursday with Salamanca, that was something years in the making that should have happened a long time ago. And at the very end of the show, you know, I don't even know if you know about this. At the very end of the show, I brought up that WrestleMania episode where I was awfully quiet. He had no idea I was bringing it up. I don't even think he had any idea that I even had a guilty conscience since then. But I explained to everybody on Thursday why I was so quiet. I was 100% honest about it. And this is why I do video. When I said what I said, I played it back and I just looked at Jason's reaction to it. And you could see on his face that he truly, sincerely, really appreciated what I said and my apology. And that is probably one of the best examples why video was so important and why I should have done it 10 years ago. Because with audio, you paint the picture of what you perceive is the person. You could, it's like somebody who's blind. You know, somebody who's blind that's never seen somebody's face and never seen their mannerisms and never seen their eyes and never seen, you know, the way they just tell things. You know, you just hear it and you paint a certain picture. And I see his Facebook page and people labeling me a racist and this and that. And I'm like, all right, you know, if that's what they need, you know, to hold on to, that's cool. But now people see my face and they see my reaction and they see, you know, how I operate. People are like, wow, you're nothing like I ever thought you were or expected. Some people think that what I do now is fake. And you trust me, you can't fake that, you know, so that's why I do the video. I now make sure the episodes are friendly for our audio folk out there, because 85 to 90% of all the downloads are still audio only. But yeah. I have the video out there because if somebody decides they do want to watch something or they do want to see my reaction to something, they don't want to see a serious combo, they can actually see the person's face and not just hear it and, you know, get, you know, paint the picture that they perceive it to be. So
right,
but that's it. You know, I'm having a ball. It's still fun. I mean, I know wrestling is nowhere near how good it used to be, but there's enough of it that still makes me entertained, and I try to focus on the stuff that makes me laugh and have fun, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I appreciate you being there for a large portion of it. I think a lot of people don't realize how far back you actually go with the stuff that I do. It goes back to what, 2005?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Earlier than that. But only from my end, because I was even listening to stuff you did with Chris Cash.
Yeah.
Because I was listening back then. But yeah, 2005 is when I started peppering in little bits and intros and shit. Yeah.
05 is Chris Cash. And then right. I think
the end of Chris Cash. I think that was a Minority Report. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Chris Cash a little bit earlier than that? Was he
no.
like 2003, 2004?
No, he was pretty much 05. It might have been late 04, but around March or April of 05 is when we pretty much broke away. And then,
I still remember the day when I recorded Chris Cash and New Jack.
Oh my God.
And I don't know if I'm the one that sent it to you or what, but I remember dying of laughter.
That's crazy. That whole
thing. And then you guys had on New Jack, like a couple. Because it had to have been. Oh no, Chris Cash was doing his own show for a while too. That's right.
That was crazy.
I remember New Jack would come on with you in Mass Maniac, mm-hmm. and he motherfucked
I put that episode up not too long ago where he, you know, verbally threatened the shit out of Chris Cash. He's like, this motherfucker actually told me to go along when he calls me the N-word. You know, I mean, I'm not going to say it, but that guy, Chris Cash, man, I don't know what ever happened to him. But you know his relationship with Vince Russo, right?
Didn't he try to get into an investment with Vince and he ended up screwing him out of money?
What was that website? It was something and Ballyhoo.
Pyro and Ballyhoo is Vince Russo's online persona. I told you about
that.
This,
was a, right, but they were making a channel, a website of that, right, and Chris Cash was involved, and Chris Cash, I think, Smoked ripped money. Off. Yeah, he.
Right. Well, before that, I don't know if I ever told you that. So back when Wrestling Soup, actually, it wasn't even Wrestling Soup. I'm sorry. Back when I was doing Revolution Radio, Vince Russo hit me up when I was on Blog Talk Radio. Now, I was a friend of Ford Denny at the time, who was kind of like he was in bed with Howard Stern.
Okay.
And so Howard Stern had his own streaming service. And so all of these shows Howard Stern would pick and put on the streaming service, and they would make money. And this was before Stern Nation, so this doesn't have any correlation with Andrew Carluck. But Vince Russo hit me up at the time because I was talking about different things of Vince Russo's and going into his interviews that he did with Russell Crap back in the day and going into his very first book, Forgiven, and kind of dissecting some of this stuff. And I talked about how Vince Russo made it really seem like he was genuinely the best shyster of them all. And I explained why, based on the facts of how he got out of his WWE or his WCW contract with WWE. And then he got that WWE contract for half a second and gave Vince McMahon a bunch of ideas for whatever to pay out the WCW contract. And Vince McMahon said, fuck you, get out, basically. And then he went off to work with Jeff Jarrett, who is who he wanted to work with from the beginning. And he couldn't get out of the contract with WCW to work with Jeff Jarrett. So he devised this plan in order to get Vince to buy out his WCW contract, give him a bunch of crazy highball ideas, and then still get to work with Jeff Jarrett anyways, because he knew he was going to get fired. And it all came true. And I talked really highly of that moment. And I remember having a conversation with Pyro and Ballyhoo, who at the time I did not know was Vince Russo. I only found out years later when Pyro and Ballyhoo was attached to Vince Russo on Twitter and other places. And I went, holy shit. I literally had this long back and forth conversation with Vince Russo for like 6 hours talking about this segment. And we go, nah, I don't think Vince would do that. And Vince never said who he was. He never spoke. And to be fair, I'm this weird guy where I'll talk to people that are definitely famous and I'll never ask them who they are, even if I know that they're famous, because I find it disrespectful. Like, if you want to tell me who you are, I will totally take that. But I'm not going to be the one to reach out and say, are you blah, blah, blah? Like, a perfect example was Mr. Mystery. We had the Mr. Mystery shit on for a while. Man. And I mean, we even found a way. He found a way to disguise his voice and we recorded it and it was fucking great. And he had a lot of fucking, he had a lot of things inside. And people would constantly fucking DT. And I'm sure with you too, constantly, who the fuck is this guy? Who is he? Who the fuck is Mr. Mystery? Who is this motherfucker? And I would genuinely say, I don't want to know. Like, I think there was even a point where he wanted to reveal himself. Like, I technically don't know who it is to this day, but I do. But I, for the longest time, I think there was even a time where he said, I wanted to reveal myself. Like, do you want to know who I am? And I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't. And it's not because I wanted to like keep it kayfabe, brother. It was because it was like, you're Mr. Mystery. That's all we need to know. We know you're a part of the business. You've proven yourself by the things you say. I don't need to know who you are. I don't need to know who you are from my clout. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I think that that's one of the funnier things, right? With the Vince Russo stuff, especially having Vince Russo argue with me about me being very fond of the things that he did to Vince McMahon and to Ted Turner, and him kind of being like, that's not the right take, brother.
Yeah. It was good. That was good.
Yeah, but you got to realize, Ben, we're talking like 2000, 2011. Like, even then, podcasting was already hot, but the whole voice distortion stuff wasn't readily available software for common Joes. You know what I mean? Like, I was using it even in college. I was fucking with the voice distortion stuff, but it was separate equipment. It was physical fucking equipment. Yeah. It was physical equipment, you know?
Yeah
dude.
Well, I guess we can go, because, you know, this Monday we'll have episode. No, tomorrow would be episode 5001, but we'll be back right at it on Monday. You have wrestling soup. I almost said breakfast soup. You have wrestling soup. Twix, tune into yesterday's show. We talked about that Shane McMahon thing. That's clickbait. Thursday, Wrestling Soup, 7:30 p.m. And then I will have my Q&A at 10:05 p.m. And tomorrow we should find out that surprise, that announcement about AEW. We'll see if it's Ring of Honor. We'll see if it's Terminus. We'll see if it's a New Japan deal. We'll see if it's Rampage going 2 hours. I mean, those seem to be the four that a lot of people are talking about. So should be
very good. Much love to everybody.
Much love, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Be well. All right, everybody. I'm out of here. I am going to edit this, put this online, and I thank you all, as always, for your support. Thank you for everybody who sent questions in. Some fun conversation for tonight. And that's pretty much it. So for those that are live with me now, if you are looking to download tonight, it's 12:06 a.m. I'd say by 12:15, you should be able to download this. For everyone else, especially for anybody online that doesn't normally get our Patreon show, you know, today may not have been the greatest example of what our Patreon shows are like. But many times it is just casual conversation, down to earth. And today was a little bit different. It being episode 5000. And we'll see how far we can take it. So much love, everybody. Thank you as always. And I will catch you all again soon. Be well.